Welcome to the Reformed Media Review. My name is Camden Busey. I'm here with Jeff Waddington, who is stated supply at Knox Orthodox Presbyterian Church in Lansdowne, Pennsylvania. He's also the communications director for the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals. And today we're going to be speaking about a book titled God is a Communicative Being, Divine Communicativeness and Harmony in the Theology of Jonathan Edwards, written by William Schweitzer. Jeff, tell us about this book. I suppose I should mention that you did review it in the most recent issue of the Westminster Theological Journal. So hopefully, I'm just looking forward to you providing us an overview of this book and any notes that you might have. Tell us about it.
Sure. Every once in a while, the journal will actually request someone to do a review. And in this instance, I was asked if I would be willing to do this one.
Hey, quite the honor.
Yeah, it was. I was pleased to. The book is just about a year old. Yeah, 2012 it came out. Bill Schweitzer is a PCA minister planting a church in northern England. And the name of the church is Gateshead Presbyterian Church. But anyways, this is a very good book. If you've seen the review, You have, Camden. You know that there's the only critique I could offer was that the book in the hardback form is priced extremely high and basically out of reach of the kind of people I would want to recommend the book to.
I'm seeing a street price of $97.79 right now.
So it's gone down a little. When it was newer, it was $110.
Yeah. Kindle price at under $15.
So, right, you can get Kindle, and there will apparently sometime in the fall they'll release a paperback version
for probably $50.
I think between $35 and $50.
Okay, that's about an academic paperback. That's about right. Where they come out.
That's not too bad, but the $110 is admittedly quite steep.
Yeah.
But anyways, Dr. Schweitzer does is he's wanting to revisit the theology of Jonathan Edwards, and you may be thinking, okay. Hasn't that been done for the umpteenth time?
Right.
And it is true. Lots of people have done it. We have recently the McClymond and McDermott Theology of Jonathan Edwards at Oxford University published in end of 2011. But this is a very well done book. I had no criticisms to offer. And any criticisms I might have had would be targeted toward Edwards himself rather than to Bill Schweitzer.
Interesting.
Basically, what he's arguing is that God is a harmonious being, thinking about his Trinitarian nature, and that harmony is also revealed in creation, and in particular, that God has revealed himself in Scripture, nature, and history. Each one of those media is harmonious with itself, and each of those media are also harmonious with each other.
Okay.
That's the big picture.
This is interesting because this book is in this T.N.T. Clark Studies in Systematic Theology series. And the listener may know a few weeks ago we had Carlton Wynn on the program to do a review of a Bovink, a study on Bovink's theology that dealt with his view of theology as organism, particularly looking at his doctrine of the Trinity. So very similar in thematic scope here with this book.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So basically, what's unique about the book is that he deals with God's communication. Excuse me, through nature and through history. And anybody who's familiar with Edwards is aware that he had a unique spin on typology. Anybody who understands God's word has been reading it for a while and it has become acclimated to its interrelationships of the various parts of the Bible will be familiar with the notion of typology. In other words, some person, event, or institution in the Old Testament shadows forth the person and work of Christ and the New Testament era And Edwards held to that. He held to the normal notion of typology, but he also held to typology in nature, in history, what I guess we could call extra-biblical typology. And someone stumbling across this in Edwards might confuse it with, oh, I don't know, reader response theory. You know, but for Edwards, God purposefully put into nature and into history types or shadows of the work of Christ, the person of Christ, the spiritual realities. Edwards, of course, was a Trinitarian theistic idealist, and he saw the spirit as real, God in particular, and the physical as an appendix, if you will. I would have concerns with that way of putting it, but that was Edwards' approach. In the history of the work of redemption, it becomes rather clear that he operates with this notion of typology, because he deals with church history from the end of the New Testament all the way up to his time period, and he points out what he believes are types in history pointing to the person and work of Christ. So if you're familiar with that work, the history of the work of redemption, then you would see his typology at work. But the reason why this is significant is that Edwards, of course, is theologizing during the rise and height of deism. And you will remember that deism, of course, is said that that natural revelation was sufficient. That man was not sinful, but in a natural state. He knew all that he needed to know to worship the God who is from nature. And Edwards, of course, would say yes and more. And so he would challenge the whole deistic natural theology enterprise.
Oh, yeah.
Basically what Bill does is he spells all of that out in detail in the book. The criticism that a question I would have for Edwards is he seems to suggest that God has to create because he's a communicative being.
Right, that's the problem. I mean, the criticism, you know, that comes down to a form of what's called panentheism, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
It is an issue. I think Edwards, if you were to ask him, baldly like that, you know, do you believe that God had to create? He'd probably say no. So at that point, he'd have a happy inconsistency, because certainly he doesn't talk as if God had no choice. But it is an aspect or a facet of his nature. But it is interesting. Most scholars who are familiar with Edwards recognize this particular issue as being potentially problematic.
Clearly, given the series, the publisher, and the price is targeted at an academic crowd, but perhaps either the Kindle version or when the volume comes down in price because it's published in paperback and it's more accessible. Do you see this, being useful to people that are outside of, you know, Edwardsian scholarship?
Oh, most certainly. I mean, that's one of the benefits of the book is it's well written, it's clear, it stays on topic, what it's trying to deal with, which is that God reveals himself and he is himself a harmonious being Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that is revealed in nature, history, and most importantly in Scripture. One of the points I make is that some might think that because he talks about these three media, that would somehow lessen the significance of Scripture, and that might be the case in some theologians, but not the case in Edwards. Edwards maintains that supremacy of the inscripturated revelation. And another point to note, because this is a bone of contention in Edwards scholarship, is that the types that are in history and nature can only be recognized by the regenerate. It's there in objective reality, but it can only be recognized, those types can only be recognized by a believer.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There have been scholars who have misunderstood Edwards at that point and have tried to argue that these types were visible to, or were apparent to, both believers and unbelievers.
That's an important subject, and especially, you know, we've tried to devote some time on Reformed Forum to the relationship between general and special revelation. So to have this revisited through the lens of Jonathan Edwards' theology would be quite interesting and very applicable to issues that we're dealing with in the present day.
Oh, you discover the more things change, the more they stay the same.
You sure do. That's why historical theology is so important, not just history, but historical theology.
Definitely.
Mm.
I would recommend, as I did in the book review, I would recommend the book. If the Kindle is obviously going to be the cheapest version, and if you're comfortable with using a Kindle.
Yeah, with the footnotes, I've always questioned how useful that might be.
What, do they turn them into endnotes?
In my experience, they have. Now, you can navigate back and forth, but I haven't read many. Well, I haven't read a single full title, academic title on Kindle. And the books that I have read on Kindle that have footnotes, at least my style of reading, it's frustrating. I do not like endnotes, and I like just to look at the bottom of the page and look back up if I can. But
yes,
that's a personal thing, but I know many other academic readers that think the same way.
Yes, I've had the same opinion, and now I'm in a place with my work with the Alliance where I'm producing ebooks.
Yeah.
So I'm aware of that. That's a deficiency, I think, in the ebook technology at this point.
Well, technology changes, and you know, for good or for ill, the message changes as well. Think about the move from scrolls to codices, and now we're going from codices to ebooks. Things are different. Or screens or whatever. Well, Jeff, thanks for the notes on this. And if you would like some more detailed interaction and a more sustained treatment, of course, pick up a copy of the Westminster Theological Journal. That'll be the spring 2013 edition, right, Jeff? If I have
that's
right.
The most recent edition.
Yes, exactly. But for people that might listen to this episode a year or two from now, where we're existing at the moment. So we want to thank everybody for listening. This has been the Reformed Media Review.